Welcome back, folks, to episode 28 of the Nintendo Wirecast. I am one of your hosts, Amiibo Jason, and with me, as always, is the amazing, just the all-around cool guy, Hero TJ. How you doing, man?
I'm doing amazing. Thanks for that super ego-boosting intro.
How was quarantine? Your quarantine's not as bad as my quarantine, but
no, I'm not really quarantined at all. For me, it's great.
Yeah.
I don't say it to rub it in, but things are very different in Taiwan for the first time. They've just reported no new cases. The island is pretty much closed off, so hopefully if everybody does what they're supposed to do, it's just going to be diminishing the numbers. So my day-to-day life is very minimally impacted. I can still go to the gym, which I'm happy about. My kid still goes to school.
Yep.
There are a lot of precautionary measures in place, so we don't like go to the park and my kids will hold hands and, you know, we don't French kiss random strangers, stuff like that. But
so sad,
you know. but by and large, my heart is definitely with all of my American compatriots who are kind of having to shelter in place.
Yeah, how are you holding up?
It could be a lot worse.
You know, if this was back in 1950 or 1960 and we're all stuck inside with the books and the newspaper and that's it, yeah, I think that would suck. But in the age of Tiger King and Netflix and video games and digital content delivery systems, this is probably the best time to be quarantined in human history. That being said, I'm going a bit crazy. I mean, I work from home, and my job is, to a certain degree, Nintendo Wire. But I would say my job is more not Nintendo Wire. So I do work for a company. I'm lucky enough that this company still needs me, and I can still work from home. But working from home is hard. It's difficult to a certain degree, especially with my daughter being homeschooled here 5 days a week. Always needing help with that. Obviously, Happily Candied is working on the website. So I think we're all going a little stir crazy, but here's hoping it's going to be over quick. But luckily, I had distractions last week. Final Fantasy VII Remake came out. I know that has nothing to do with Nintendo, so I'm fine with that fact.
Cloud is in Smash, so I would consider it to be Nintendo adjacent.
And Final Fantasy VII is on the Switch, which is
yeah. So there you go.
Good to a certain degree.
And
it connects.
In 7 years, when Nintendo creates a console as powerful as the PS4, maybe we'll get one of those HD remakes.
That would be nice. I'd probably buy it again. So
yeah, well, that's good. That's at least a vote of confidence in favor of the game. So what are your? We're going to keep this super spoiler-free for everybody out there because it's super new. But what are your general impressions on it?
So I finished the game, 40 hours worth in 4 days, so 10 hours a day on average. I did take off time from work for this game. So I know it sounds crazy, but Final Fantasy is my favorite game series of all time. It beats Zelda, it beats Mario. It is just, it holds a very, very special place in my heart. So I've been waiting for this day for 5 years since they announced it at E3 5 years ago. Coming up on 6 years, actually, now. Overall, the experience was incredible. The voice acting was top-notch. The visuals were top-notch. They threw some curveballs in there, and I'm not going to say what those curveballs are, but if you look at the experience as a whole, I enjoyed that game thoroughly. I'm excited for the next one. I have some criticisms about story choices. Again, I'm going to keep it very spoiler-free. But I would say that this falls in the top five games I've played in the past 5 years, and that's very, very high praise.
Wow.
It is an absolutely incredible experience if you're a fan of Final Fantasy VII. And the voice cast, like I said before, just so good. Like, every single character is on point to a degree I never thought that could be possible. So if you're a fan of Final Fantasy, if you've never played VII, or if you've played VII, you owe it to yourself to play this game. Just keep in mind, it might not be what you're expecting.
Which is, in my opinion, and granted this is coming from a complete layman, somebody who, I would say, attempted to play Final Fantasy VII for about 2 hours, hot on the heels of Ocarina of Time, which is like exactly in my wheelhouse. So I couldn't really get into it. It never grabbed me. But it sounds like what you're saying is that if they found some way to recreate this experience with all these enhanced elements and also surprise you a little bit, maybe that's not such a bad thing. Because if you can predict every single moment as it's occurring, then maybe rehashing it isn't as dynamic or dramatic as it could be. Maybe they're using this opportunity to try to expand the universe a bit.
I think they are too. Again, it's difficult for me to give my true feelings on it without giving anything away, and I will not do that. I have thoughts, and at some point down the line further, if the opportunity presents itself, I might share those thoughts.
But, yeah, well, we could definitely revisit this conversation.
I'll let now, you know in 2 years when the next game comes out, 2, 3, 4 years from now.
Seven or 8 years. Nintendo will get this one when the next one comes out.
That could be true. Now, but I am excited for it. Either way.
Is this like half the game? Or
it is about 11% of the entire story.
So do you think... Now, I heard this, so I have no experience in this regard, but that the Midgar portion of the game in the original is quite small.
Very
and it
small.
Was expanded in this.
Yes.
Maybe if they don't expand the rest of the game and they keep it more true to what its original playtime might have been, do you think that this is another installment or two more installments?
I would say two at a minimum. I think three would be the perfect fit. So Midgar is great. For people not familiar, Midgar was a very small portion of the game. You had this ragtag group of people essentially helping you blow up this big reactor that was sucking the lifeblood of the Earth. And for the most part, you didn't really get to fully know the characters you were with the exception of Barrett and Tifa, which are like two of the main characters. But there's three other characters that were just kind of there. They talked to a certain degree, but they were just kind of there. And they really fleshed them out in this. I would like to think that episode one that we just got is the character development episode. Like, you learn about Cloud, his backstory, Aerith, you know, the entire team of Avalanche, your team. And I think if they can move past that point a little bit more when we move into the next episode, I think they could fit a lot more in. For sure. There's definitely a lot more characters we haven't met yet. Again, I'm not going to ruin who we have and have not met in this game. But yeah, I think they could shrink it down to three. I don't think two is possible.
Okay. I was suppressing a cough there. I let some of my liquid trickle down in an uncomfortable way down my throat. And it reminded me of something that my brother said recently, where he lives in America. And he said, you know, it used to be when I was in public and I had to fart, I would cough to cover it up. But now, when I have to cough in public, I try to fart to cover it up. I'm sorry for the crass description, but...
We're in strange times.
It's strange times where you're more concerned about public coughing than public flatulation.
It's true. Well, we can move on past the Final Fantasy. I am going to be playing this game again, for sure. I'm going to go back and try to 100% complete it because, I mean, I've been waiting for this game for 5 years, so having it beaten 4 days is not going to cut it for me. So I might come back with more insights.
So you played 10 hours a day.
Yes, around
That's
there. The last day,
fantastic.
The last day, it was about 14 hours, and that was on Sunday.
Nice.
I didn't expect to play that long. But it got to a point where it was like 2:30 in the morning, and I'm like, I just have to see this through. I'm just going to see it through right now, be done with it. I don't have to worry about spoilers anymore at that point. By the way, the final boss of this game was ruined for me from a YouTube title card from somebody I don't subscribe to that was just recommended to me in YouTube. So thank you very much.
I hate when that happens.
Such a pain.
That kills me.
So I'll be back with more insights, but for now we get to talk about Nintendo... Fun-filled stuff. We had two big updates yesterday. Update number one was a physical update, a real update for Nintendo Switch. Version 10.0.0 is out, which you would imagine would be this massive update. Like, version 10? That's like a big number. It's nice and round and even.
Yeah, but I guess that big, round, even, attractive-looking number did not deliver on its appearance.
We got three things. So
yeah.
Thing number one is we three big things. There's a bunch of bug fixes. Thing number one is we got some new avatar images that we can pick from Animal Crossing New Horizons, which I really don't care about.
Yeah, they focus on the newer characters in this game, which coincidentally, I think, overlap a lot with the recent Animal Crossing Smash Spirits, which came out last time. So if you miss those, you're out of luck, at least until the next Smash update. But I did manage to get those, still 100%.
Nice. I got to hear more about that. We also got the ability to move content from the SD card to internal memory and vice versa.
Now, a feature I heard, wanted. Yeah, I've heard you comment on this favorably. I don't understand it. So what actually is happening here?
So you have the ability to save to a micro SD card or to your internal storage. You never had the ability to, let's say, if your SD card was filling up and you wanted to move it to internal storage or vice versa, to do that. Now you do. There's not a lot of applications for it unless you're trying to do backups or you're trying to clear up the internal storage for some reason. But I like the idea that it lets you just, I don't know, navigate your collection a little bit easier if you so choose. There's been instances where I've wanted to do this before without having to fully re-download something, just so I could back it up to my computer and then go that route. But honestly, there's not a huge reason that most people are going to need that.
It's not a situation that's ever occurred within my Switch time with the Switch, so it didn't really make much of a strong impression on me.
But the big thing, the big boy, is the button mapping. The button mapping has been something that Nintendo fans have wanted for some time. There's a couple applications I'm going to use this for, by the way. So if you're not familiar with it, you have the ability now to essentially map any button to any other button on a Pro Controller or on your Joy-Con. A feature that, like I said, a lot of people have wanted. It's an accessibility thing. People with handicaps or disabilities, they have a wide variety of options now to play many of your favorite Nintendo games. For me personally, I utilize a glitch in Breath of the Wild that lets you run infinitely if you use your horse whistle at the same time. So the horse whistle is the down on the D-pad, and the run button, I can't remember what the run button is, but it's nearly impossible to position your fingers in a way to do all three where it's comfortable.
Yes.
So this would give me the opportunity to map that horse button to something else so I can easily spam that little glitch to run as quick as I want.
Yeah. I did hate the default button mapping of Breath of the Wild, and they did allow you to flip the jump button.
Yeah.
And so I did flip it, which improved it for me, but I still did not love the relationship between the sprint button and the jump button, so I probably would have remapped that. But I will say, overall, I found this button remapping to be soul-crushing. It was such a disappointment to me because I was hoping that I would finally get to do what I've been wanting to do since the first Smash Brothers game, which is to control my character with the D-pad.
Yeah.
I hate the analog stick for controlling any side-scrolling game. I want every single game that is in 2D to be able to move my character with the directional pad because it's so much more precise to me. Yeah. I understand it's not as nuanced, so I understand that you don't have like the tilt capacity that maybe you do with the analog stick, but I wouldn't care. If my character moved at full tilt every single time I pushed the button, I could just tap it in a way that I don't feel is as precise with the analog stick. Now, if there is some way in this button remapping thing to do that I didn't find or notice, then my apologies, but I couldn't find a way to allow it to do that. And it just seems like such an obvious thing. I wish Smash just was like that.
Yeah.
Who uses taunts in real life? So let me move my taunts to the L stick and then allow me to move my character with the directional pad. Please.
You're the first person I've ever heard that would want to do that, but more power to
you. Well, I grew up, I understand there's a long tradition of joysticks with fighting games because that's typically what arcades use, but I played those games on Super Nintendo, and so for me, Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, growing up on those games, I played with that D-pad, and Smash to me is an extension of that fighting game experience, and I just want to be able to move them.
I get it.
I want to be able to control them as I move them. I still do it every single time I play. I've been playing Smash since the original game. I don't think there's ever been a situation where you could play Smash with anything but an analog stick.
Yeah.
And I still will put that controller in my hand and try to move them with the D-pad every time.
I will
and
say
then I
though,
start taunting.
I will say that this update is something, like I said before, a lot of people have requested. Microsoft has been doing something like this for some time now. They have like an accessibility program that makes some pretty wild controllers for people. They have an entire kit that you can purchase that you can create controllers that you can control with your feet and your mouth and various other degrees. Like, and it's obviously made for people that don't have necessarily the same ability just to use a traditional controller.
Right.
So once again, I'm pretty happy Nintendo went this route. It's, I don't think it's 100% perfect, but I think it's a step in the right direction. I think
so too. I mean, it doesn't quite do what the Xbox One does, where the Xbox controller caters to people who have very unique circumstances,
that's
where
true.
Maybe the situation in which they need their controller to function to be able to play is unique to them. And Microsoft did find a way to be able to take that situation and just open up gaming to just a whole host of people.
And it does work
specific
with the Switch, too.
Yes, which I have an incredible amount of respect for Xbox for, where they're like, hey, the whole purpose of this is to allow people to play, to be inclusive. And so it defeats our own mission statement to not make it accessible to as many different people as possible. So I really love that. That's the happiest I've ever been about Xbox ever. Was reading that article. It's from a year or two ago now, but I really thought it was great. And Nintendo is taking small steps towards that.
Yeah.
Because this is different than most games, which do allow some degree of button remapping, because this is on
a system,
like a system level.
Yeah,
does it mess with like your command buttons? Because normally like A progresses and B goes back. So if you switch your A and your B, does it also switch those commands?
I think so.
Oh, that's cool. Otherwise, that could get real confusing real fast.
I haven't tried it yet, but I'm going to mess around with it just to see what you can and can't do.
Now that I think about it, that would mess me up. Because if I want to change certain things, a lot of games have multiple functions for a single button in Nintendo games. So if A is to progress, but A is also, let's say, for example, your sword, then I'm trying to push the sword and progress it, but I would still automatically always try to advance the game with A no matter what. And
I'm
I would always try to go back with B no matter what.
I wonder if they have the ability to do it on a game-by-game basis, like select the software you want this profile for. Steam has done that for a while now, where you can select a game specifically you want a controller mapped out for. I might have to look into that. I don't think that's part of the deal, but I could be wrong.
Because it kind of seems like you could just do that within the individual software. Like Smash lets you make controller profiles. It seems better suited to that.
Could be.
So,
but either
I guess
way,
it's good that it's there.
Yeah, it's a nice little thing. And I thought at that point that was the end of the update. But as of this morning, a data miner by the name of Mike Heskin, who has been data mining for some time now, from what I understand, found a brand new profile for a new piece of Switch hardware buried in this update. Now, the update is apparently called NXABCD. Don't know what that stands for, except for the NX is obviously the code name for the Switch, which we all know. And apparently it is kind of opening the door for a new piece of hardware to be developed for. Does that confirm that a new piece of hardware is coming out right now? No. But, I mean, I think this is the first main thing we've seen so far showing that Nintendo has plans for another piece of hardware. And what that could mean is, like, a full revision, maybe a Switch 2, maybe something like the Switch Lite, where it's, like, a compatibility thing where they make it bigger or smaller. I have no clue. It's completely speculation at this point. But I think it's interesting to see it.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it would not be outside of normal practices for Nintendo to invest in technology that they never fulfill on, just because you don't exactly know the way that things are going to go. Like, I can't imagine that they expected Animal Crossing to be this runaway hit that it is right now. It's just all of the circumstances conspiring towards a particular outcome. But with this, it does get the mind thinking about what would be possible. I played a lot of games on the Wii U where I thought this game is forever trapped on the Wii U because there's just no way they could transfer this game in a good way to another system, or even maybe the 3DS, because of how intrinsic the experience is to having two screens. And even a game where I felt was super specific to the Wii U, like Mario Maker, they did find a way to transfer it, but it is, by my own personal assessment, a dramatically diminished experience.
Yeah.
I would way rather go back to Wii U and play Mario Maker.
Oh yeah, Mario Maker on Wii U is 10 times better, for sure. It was designed for that layout specifically.
Right.
So, I mean, I completely get that. Even the touch screen, like the old fashioned touch screen, was designed specifically for Mario Maker in mind. I mean, it's actually more difficult to use the touch screen on Switch than it was on the Wii U.
So if they could some way leverage this technology that's in this update to be able to create a second screen interface, I think that would be the thing that would excite me the most.
So there is talks on that too. So the data miner is saying that there is evidence that a secondary display is going to be involved in some capacity for this update. In my opinion, the only logical answer for what that would be an optional control scheme for the Switch, and my main guess, it would be something that I've been predicting and wanting from the moment they announced the Switch Lite, was that you can use the Switch Lite as a controller with a screen and hook it up to a full Switch that's hooked up to a TV. So if you own a Switch and you own a Switch Lite, you could have a two-screen experience.
If they did that, I would buy a Switch Lite yesterday.
I think a lot of people would. And I know a lot of people that own both at this point, and it makes a lot of sense for this to be an option. I mean, Nintendo gave you the ability to use your 3DS as a controller on Smash Wii U. So it's not like this capability is completely out there. I mean, that was 6-7 years ago at this point. Actually, I think it was 5 years ago or six.
That floored me. That blew my mind. I thought that was such an incredible way to bring those two divergent systems together.
Yeah.
With one of the unique situations where they both had the same game. That
yeah.
that didn't happen very, very often, where the portable and the console had almost perfect parity between two titles. And so being able to see that was great. And they've already done things with a number of other Switch games. I guess the first one that comes to my mind is Mario Party, where you can take two Switches and they talk to each other. But they both have unique data. So both of them are doing their own little thing, but when you put them together, it's almost like putting Lego blocks together. So if they could find some way to make that a part of the gaming experience, I can understand why there'd be maybe a little bit of hesitation to build games around that feature, because then your price of entry is really high. Yeah,
it would have to be optional. It would have to be.
Right.
My hope for it would be that games like Breath of the Wild would be updated to have your inventory system on the second screen.
Oh, that would be so good. But then the only problem with that is you'd have to play with that device as your controller.
Correct.
Which could be okay. It could be okay.
And that, that's
I would probably
entire
do that.
Thought process would be you'd have to use the Switch Lite as the controller. So I'd like to see that. I'd like to see pretty much every major first-party game take advantage of it. But again, it would have to be done in a way where you're not alienating people that can't afford two systems. Nintendo's always been about accessibility, for the most part, as far as getting as many people playing a game as possible. It's one of the reasons why you saw like maybe two new 3DS exclusive games ever come out that were worth buying. I think you had Xenoblade Chronicles 3D, and you had, what was it? Fire Emblem Warriors that required it. Besides that, I mean, everything else was pretty much fair game played on whatever system you have.
And it was the core conceit of the Nintendo Wii. Like the Wii was developed to be, hey, let's get everyone playing.
Yeah.
So it definitely is something that Nintendo is highly conscious about, and something that they put a lot of thought into when they release things is how can we remove as many barriers of entry as possible to get people into this game? And if you had to buy a ton of tech, people don't play it, as is evidenced by some of Nintendo's other experiments. As cool as Four Swords Adventures was, I don't know too many people who are fortunate enough to have four Link cables, four Game Boy Advances, and the game to be able to really play that through the way that it was intended. Like the best I was able to pull off was three. So me and my brother and a friend were able to.
I had no friends that had that. I was the only Nintendo fanboy in my entire friend group. So I was there playing all alone, going to my island in Animal Crossing, or Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles was another option too, where you could use.
It was a great idea, but hard to implement.
I figure it's not a crazy investment though. So I mean, $200 for a second screen experience when you have a pro controller that still retails at $80. So I mean, it's not asinine. And at the end of the day, you have a second Switch, which you can share with your family or do whatever. But I think it would be interesting if they went that route. I'm really curious to see if it's going to be, you know, a viable option. And it would be so weird. It would be like having a Wii U again.
Yes.
Which isn't a bad thing. I still love
Nintendo. Wii U. Oh, yeah. To me, I still think that's Nintendo's crowning achievement.
Like right now, if I were to play Wind Waker, let's say Wind Waker came on the Switch, I'd want it on Wii U. I'd still play it on Wii U just for the inventory system. It absolutely makes the most sense.
For sure.
So either way, I'm curious now that we've kind of mentioned this, if this report has any teeth to it, any just ounce of validity, I'm curious to see your thoughts on what you would like to see from a new Switch, an updated Switch, a brand new experience. What are you hoping to see Nintendo release in the next year?
Well, I tend to think that data mine reveals carry a lot of credibility. Now, that's assuming that the data mine report is correct. Like if someone makes up, hey, I data mined this and they didn't, that's one thing. But if we're to assume that whoever is delivering this information genuinely data mined the game, I think that carries a lot of weight. So do we know without any sort of information that Nintendo is working on iterations to the Switch? Of course we do. They always are. Yeah. Nintendo has permanent teams established to work on the next thing. So we know it is coming. We know something is coming. We don't know when it is coming. I would want for myself personally that two-screen interface back, because there are a lot of ways that the experience is, I think, diminished. And I got really used to it. There was an entire console generation where both portably and on the console where I could interact with my games on two screens. There were times where I felt it was heinously abused to the point where I couldn't even play the game, like Kirby Rainbow Curse, I want to say, where you were player one and the only way to play the game, even if you were hooked on your television, was to look down at the screen. That drove me nuts. But there are also games like you mentioned with Wind Waker where it just makes the game so smooth and so slick. And I think the most perfect example is Mario Maker, where they created an interface that just cannot be topped. It was so fun to do. And when you subtract that second screen, for me, it pretty much destroyed the experience. The amount of time I spent in Mario Maker 2 making levels was about 10 minutes. And I was like, all right, I'm out. Yeah. I hate it.
Agreed.
Maybe if that had... Go for it.
I feel like the Wii U was ahead of its time for so many things. There's still certain games that were, like Nintendo Land, I think is a really good example, where one player has the gamepad, one person is using another controller and looking at the TV. You have privacy, so you can make strategic decisions. I played first-person shooters like Call of Duty Black Ops 2, which was a launch title on the Wii U back in the day, that let you do one person got to play the game on the gamepad, one on the TV. I mean, it was innovative, and there was just so many ways that you could have a strategic TV experience. And I know Nintendo is kind of shifting away to everybody gets their own handheld system, but there's still times where I want the family together in the room, and it would be nice to have an innovative way to have two controllers working in tandem with your screen. I think the closest thing we have to that is Animal Crossing, where if I wanted to go to my daughter's town, I could go on the TV, she could go on, you know, her little gamepad, and we could both kind of see what's happening in real time. But those examples are kind of few and far between. So I agree with you that I think it would be interesting. And I still think the Wii U got just terribly mistreated. It was such a cool console.
Yeah, the example you mentioned with the asymmetric gaming, I feel like that was super underutilized. It was so fun doing those Nintendo Land games where you receive different information than the people who you're playing with. And that does kind of bring up a possibility that we didn't specifically mention earlier about if you could make the Switch Lite talk to the Switch as an additional controller. Maybe it's not so much that Nintendo expects a single player to purchase two Switches. Maybe it's more that they're creating a way how somebody who has a Switch Lite could come and talk to your Switch.
And so I would imagine it wouldn't be limited to the Switch Lite as well. I would imagine any Switch would work. Like, if you have two Switches.
Because already you could kind of do that with, like, if I have a Switch and you have a Switch.
Yeah.
And I come to your house, I can just crack off my Joy-Cons and then I'm playing your game suddenly.
True.
But I can't use the touchscreen in any way. And I don't have personal information being received through the display. So if they could get that in there, I think that it opens the doors to a lot of creative possibilities.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think there was one really interesting thing. This is kind of not related to this particular subject, but it was Mario Party. I think the latest Mario Party, it let you take two Switch systems and put them side by side on a table and have a track go between the two.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier, where they're doing their own thing, but they're still communicating.
Yeah, for sure.
And that was pretty cool. I got to do it once with my brother's kid and my kids.
So yeah.
My nephew. And it was interesting technology. It just couldn't really hold our attention for that long.
Yeah.
But I was kind of surprised at how it was working. Once I understood how it worked, I was like, okay, I think they had some pretty clever workarounds here. But the fact that it could even do it was pretty astounding. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd like to see something like that for sure. I mean, if it was me, like, the only thing I really want to see from Nintendo at this point is more horsepower.
Yeah.
There's just so many games. I mean, we know that the Switch can run Unreal Engine 4, which is just spectacular in its own right. That a handheld mobile-based chipset can run a game that is running currently on the PS4, PC, and Xbox One. That in itself is amazing. Does it look as good? No, but it's still run. Like, it can run. It's passable. But we're rapidly heading to, and I've mentioned this before on other podcasts, we're rapidly heading toward this kind of unknown in gaming. We've seen the specs of the PS5 and the Xbox One, no, the Xbox Series X, I think is what they're calling it now. And it's pretty insane to a point where I can't imagine games developed for these consoles even stand a chance to being ported over to the Switch. And I think having the Switch being that far behind graphically from a technology standpoint, I fear that we'd end up back in the Wii U days where third parties jump ship to develop for two consoles instead of having developed two separate games, one that can run on this piece of hardware and one that can run on this piece of hardware. So I don't know. I'd like to see Nintendo just beef it up. I mean, there is an updated Tegra that's out that is far superior than the one that Nintendo's using currently. I'm not saying I want 4K gaming, even though that would be nice. But it would be nice to see a game like Final Fantasy VII Remake, when it finally loses its PS4 exclusivity next year, make its way to the Switch as well, to some way, in some capacity.
I think that they kind of do need to leave the Switch behind. I think that they need to do something like what the Wii U was to the Wii, where they just make a Switch 2.
Yeah.
It plays all the Switch games, but the games that are developed specifically for the Switch 2 cannot be powered by the original Switch. Because if they don't go that route, then they are going to get left in the dust. Because as you said, there's no way that third-party developers are going to be able to port their games for these consoles where they are just spoiled for power.
Yeah.
Where you don't even have to think about it. You don't even have to worry about compression because these systems can handle it. Nintendo is not like that. They need to be very specific about how they allocate all of their gaming storage info. I'm the super tech guy, so you can, I've got this very high-end vocabulary when it comes to this. But you know that Nintendo has to do a lot of compression to get these things on here. That's no secret to anyone. So Are they going to be able to do that with these games that are being developed for the newest consoles? No, absolutely not. They're way too big. They can just barely manage to slip in stuff from the PS3.
Yeah.
So they're generations behind in processing power. That said, what the Switch can do, it can do great. But how much incentive is there for third-party developers to really put all of that R&D into just shrinking down, diminishing the experience of this game that they poured their blood, sweat, and tears into?
I mean, companies like Bethesda, they partner with Panic Button Games to bring over the first-person shooters. And we know Doom Eternal is coming out at some point on the Switch, but no idea when. So,
right.
I mean, they're paying a third party to completely strip this game down for this hardware. And again, it is complicated because at this point, it would be difficult to say, you know, we're not going to do the mobile part of the Switch anymore. This is going to be a dedicated home console. I mean, Nintendo is now kind of expected at this point to do both. I mean, it just makes the most sense. Part of me wonders if there's any way that they could utilize, like, the dock. Like, say for, like, $200, somebody could buy a dock that would beef up the power of the Switch when they dock it. Because right now, there's nothing in the dock. It's a piece of plastic, and it just cools the system better. And it's HDMI, but it has no processing power under the under the hood. So I'm curious if there's any way they could do that, but who knows?
I wouldn't personally like that because then all of a sudden I'm having a different experience when I'm playing it handheld and when I'm playing it on the TV. And that's one of the things that is the magic of the Switch, where I can just pop it in or pull it out without even sometimes noticing a difference. And that's pretty unbelievable that they managed to have such a smooth transition from two completely different styles of play.
There's no right answer, though. I mean, it's when you look at the size of the PS5 and the Xbox One X or the Series X, they're big systems. The Series X is just a massive console. It is not
freaking
small.
Computer towers now.
And there's no holding it. There's no screen. There's no controller hooked up to it. I mean, the Switch is this thin. It's absolutely crazy that it can even play some of the games that these other consoles can do. So I don't think there's a right way to go about this. I think Nintendo would either, A, if they want to try to compete graphically, they would have to scrap the Switch. They'd have, I don't see a way that they could make something that beefy that would be affordable, number one, and number two, that would be small enough to carry comfortably. I mean, I don't want a gaming laptop, you know, in my hands or anything like that. So I'm not sure what the right way to go. I think a minor boost in graphics would help, and I know there's silicon that can do that at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know what the right answer is. I really don't.
Yeah, graphics I think is one of the easiest things because you can certainly just, if it can run the game, you could take something 4K and just down-res it to 1080. And that's perfectly acceptable. So you got something at 1080p. If it runs just as well as something in 4K, that is perfectly acceptable. And that's not as difficult as if you have to go into the way that the game processes certain graphics or generates certain images, your pop-in rate and all that other stuff. If you have to change every single way that the game interfaces with it, then that's a little bit more of a challenge that I hope that Nintendo can reach the power to a point where all they have to worry about is graphical compression. That would be a dream.
Yeah.
If their games could be identical except have a lower fidelity.
Yeah. Just like a PC. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be sweet.
But I mean, at this point, Nintendo confirmed there's nothing coming in 2020. They've lied
they
about this
stuff. They are heinous liars. Yeah, they're total liars. Like, so they just flat out lie. Now, that said, I agree. I believe them. I don't think that there's any way that there's another Switch coming out this year.
I do think somewhere around E3 we might get some kind of hint of something. And I know it's not E3 technically anymore, but whatever Nintendo has planned for summer, now that
or ever again. Yeah. There's no, I mean, we didn't really intend to talk about this, but it's interesting now. Everybody had been gearing up. I say everybody, all the developers and gaming companies had been gearing up to make these big announcements. They're probably still going to make them. They're probably still going, everyone's going to do what Nintendo's been doing for the past 5 years or so with these digital events. And they're going to go over really well and people are going to watch them. And then everybody's going to be the star of their own show. And we're going to realize the antiquated nature of E3, and it's never going to recover. I don't see it ever coming back.
I see E3 surviving. And I think they're going to survive just for the purpose of having a if everybody does their own thing without organization, I think it's going to lose the hype of the week of E3. Because, I mean, the week of E3 was just, it was gaming mecca. It was just this absolute gaming paradise, and people knew it. They knew when E3 was coming, they knew to expect news from everybody. And I feel like unless the developers team up, like you have Nintendo and Sony and Xbox saying, this is the week we're doing it, this is how we're going to organize it, this is how we're going to get the hype levels up, I think that's the only way that it's going to happen, like without E3. And I don't see that level of organization happening.
What really brought E3 together was the necessity for a venue. And now that does not exist, because they needed to get people together so that they could play these games. They needed to get people together so that they could put on these presentations.
Yeah.
We have not needed the presentations for
agreed
10 years, but we did still need the physical location to play the games. Now we don't need that anymore.
That's
so
true as well.
We've gotten to the point where everything that E3 does, with the exception of closed door meetings between developers, can be done from the comfort of your own home or from your corporate office or wherever you are. So the venue is no longer, I wouldn't even say no longer necessary. I would say the venue is obsolete.
I think to a certain degree. But at the same time, too, I still think the name E3 and what it represents is just advertising gold for everybody. I think it gets everybody's, like the gaming community in general, it gets their spirits incredibly high. And I think it gets people that are big Nintendo fans that would only tune in for a Nintendo Direct. It gives them incentive to see what else is happening this week, what else is going on in the world of video games that I might not care about, like Sony and Xbox and Bethesda and the other press conferences going on. So I would hope that if they do something, maybe it's not going to happen this year because it's really short notice, but if E3 does go the way of the dodo and it's just extinct, I would hope the game developers could somehow get together to create some sort of digital platform weekly event once a year that had the same kind of spirit that E3 had, a schedule, dedicated time for like indie games and big games and the big companies, because I think it's still absolutely needed, at least in my opinion. I don't know if I'd be as inclined if they just spread it out over the month of June and July to just tune into each one individually. I still like getting the entire E3 experience. Personal preference, maybe.
Yeah, I get that, and I do think that certainly people who have followed over the years do get excited for that. It's a lot of people's Super Bowl. I've heard a lot of gamers be like, this is my Super Bowl. I don't think that companies like to share the spotlight. I think it's going to move more and more into the direction of each person having their own time to shine on their own terms on the world stage instead of on a small stage in Los Angeles, California. Well, I guess it's a big stage, but it's nothing compared to the World Wide Web.
I still think the big thing is
we'll see.
You're going to get people. I think you have more people inclined to watch an Xbox conference if it's during E3 week, like people that you wouldn't expect. You would see Nintendo fanboys in chat. Like, I've seen Nintendo fanboys in chat, like in the Sony press conferences and the Xbox press conferences, wondering if Nintendo is going to announce some sort of crazy partnership with Xbox or something.
Yeah.
I think it's just the spirit of E3 is what brings a lot of the people there. But again, just might be my personal preference.
And we do know that your tastes do tend towards the nostalgic, and you have strong feelings for E3.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But people who are coming up now, maybe the attitude towards E3 is a little bit different.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not happy that the ESA completely leaked my personal information. Did I ever tell you I got a phone call from some rando at one point that got my name off that list?
No, you told me about them leaking your info, but you didn't tell me about the phone call.
I was at work. And he's like, this guy, he's like, is this Jason from Nintendo Wire? And I'm like, yes, who's this? He's like, I found your number online. Don't worry, I won't share it with anybody. I'm like, wow, this is weird.
That is creepy.
And it was the only time that's ever happened. And I am a D-list Nintendo celebrity at most. At the absolute most. Maybe a B-tier Amiibo celebrity, but D-list everywhere else. So I can only imagine what people like Andre from Game Explain and the Completionist and these big YouTubers, like the absolute shitstorm. Ooh, I'm going to have to beep that out. That they'd have to just deal with.
Yep. I wouldn't sell yourself completely short. In the realm of Amiibo, you are not B-list. You are Amiibo king. You are His Royal Majesty, King Amiibo Jason.
Which means absolutely nothing right now.
Yeah, we should start doing this segment on the show. How many days since the last Amiibo announcement?
It's been a hot minute. The Animal Crossing announcement as an announcement?
I don't know. That's encouragement, at least, that Amiibo. Yeah, I would, because this is a game that came out that has Amiibo functionality, and it's robust Amiibo functionality. You have to count that.
I think with COVID-19 and manufacturing down in so many regions, it's just making Amiibo less and less likely to come back anytime soon. If E3-ish time comes, so whenever Nintendo does their June event, and we get no confirmation of Amiibo at that point, I might say they're dead.
If they don't announce at least something about the DLC Fighters Pass 1 Amiibo when they do their June thing, even if it's not like, hey, yeah, here they are, they're coming out. If they're like, hey, we're making them. Yeah. If they don't mention it, I might start moving cautiously towards your level of paranoia that they may never.
You would imagine they would at least say something.
Like,
hey, guys, thank you. This was fun, but we're done.
No. I mean, like, I want them to say something like, okay, guys, our manufacturing had a few roadblocks, but we committed to making all of these Smash Fighters into Amiibo. Rest assured, it is happening. We can't give you some definitive dates on when things are going to release right now, but, you know, keep your ear to the ground. We'll let you know something when we have more info. That's like the bare minimum that I think would be expected. And if that isn't there by June, or at June, I might start to share your fears.
You know, there's not a lot to these things. NFC chips are cheap, especially if you're buying them in bulk. Like, these figures are not... I mean, they're well detailed, but they're not like... Ooh, what was that? Is that my car?
Somebody is breaking into Amiibo Jason's car as we speak. This is happening live.
Hang on one sec.
Sure. All right, I'll hold down the fort here. Oh, you can still hear him. Now, I don't know exactly. Jason's probably going to cut this part of the segment out. So I'm going to leave a secret message for him. Amiibo Jason, you are a hardworking man. You're a father. You're a gaming icon. You might not consider yourself to be high on the celebrity list of gamers, but I'm here to tell you, you're number one in our hearts. And you've earned that with nonstop continued dedication to delivering powerful, hard-hitting Nintendo and Amiibo news over the years. There are so many Amiibo that sit on my shelf right now in my collection that had it not been for you and your tireless effort in delivering those pre-order updates, I would not have. So to you, Amiibo Jason, we salute you. We salute you, you hardworking American Amiibo collecting man. Now, you guys don't have the video feed that I have of Amiibo Jason's collection right here, but it is something to be envied. I actually think I'm looking at maybe Happily Candied's desk, which is covered up with pink everything. Pink Princess Peach, pink Pokemon. Oh, did you have to fight off a ninja that was trying to bust into your car?
No, but like, I don't know why it was going off. Like, I can't even find my keys. All right, I'll be right back. One more second.
Okay. So now Jason's playing real-life Legend of Zelda. He's got to find the key to be able to unlock the door to the next location. Even though he's a Final Fantasy kind of guy, he still has been known to play his fair share of Legend of Zelda games. So he's experienced at this. He's going to be able to pull it off. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to pull off my challenge question later in the episode, though. It is a little hard. Well, maybe he will. If anyone can, he can. So I've been playing a lot of Animal Crossing. A lot. Which I imagine most of you have been too, because it's pretty much the talk of Twitter. Every single time I log on to the internet, all I see is people commenting on the latest thing that they did in Animal Crossing. Or criticizing people for the way they play Animal Crossing. Hey, you got it?
No, I'll figure it out later. I have no idea what happened, though. That was incredibly strange. But we will figure it out. 5225 is when we're coming back. All right, where were we? Amiibo.
Oh, yeah, Amiibo.
I am ready when you are. I don't even know where to pick it back up.
What was the last thing that we said?
I think we were just talking about what we'd like to see Nintendo announce. Like, there was manufacturing delays.
Okay. None of us would be that surprised or disappointed to find it at this point in the current climate to find that Nintendo is delaying the release of these Amiibo. But what I think we all need is the assurance that something is coming.
Yeah. Completely agreed. So I feel like we were at a very strange point with Amiibo. So, again, I think I've mentioned this on, like, 5 podcasts since we've started, which is a very big portion of the amount of podcasts we've had. I think, obviously, Nintendo is rethinking the need for Amiibo. I am very happy that Animal Crossing has Amiibo functionality and that they're reprinting cards in Japan. Not quite in the U.S. yet, but in Japan they are. So I think that is leaning towards, like, this is going to be okay. But it is just bizarre that Amiibo were Nintendo's bread and butter for so long when the Wii U wasn't even selling well. People still bought Amiibo. So my hope is that we are going to see something. I still think you're right, where I don't think Nintendo would abandon Amiibo when they're this far into the game, like Smash Ultimate. There's not that many more to make. I mean, right. We have, what, 12?
Yeah, which is kind of a lot when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I guess it is, but you'd think they'd want to finish what they started. Nintendo isn't typically a company that just quits. But who knows? I mean, honestly, I do get a bit paranoid about it.
Have you utilized the Amiibo functionality much in Animal Crossing?
Yeah. I used Photopia mode a few times. And then I brought over Drake, who is my favorite villager. I used his card to bring him over to the campsite, and he is now residing in my town. So I think it's great. I think it's worked out just as nice as I'd like it to. It's not as simple as New Leaf, just a quick heads up. You need to use the card 3 consecutive days to bring the character to your town. So the first time you bring him, you can ask him to move, and he typically will say, no, I'm not sure. The second time you ask, he'll say, ask me again another time. And then the third time, he'll say yes. So it happened to me with my character. It happened to Happily Candied with her character. So it's not like a one-time thing.
I see. I have not been able to use it because I don't have any Animal Crossing compatible Amiibo here in Taiwan.
Oh, okay.
But I do think it's cool.
Yeah.
Maybe we do have Amiibo cards out here. I don't actually know. A lot of time, items that are not in America but are in Japan, Taiwan does get. So maybe I should look into it and get myself a pack or two.
Yeah, they might reprint them over there.
Have a little something. I have been playing a lot of Animal Crossing, though. You?
No, not over the past 5 days.
Because you've been playing a lot of the Final Fantasy. Yeah. Well, while you've been doing that, I've been inventing my own fantasy in Animal Crossing with my kids. And I cannot believe how quickly things kind of started to develop.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned last time Dark TJ moved into my town.
And, or maybe I didn't. Yeah.
And so what that basically did was my kids started being really interested in Dark TJ Mountain. And so we started just as we're playing, and I almost only play this game with my kids. And that's really the most fun aspect of it. So we're running around the town doing certain things. And they would ask me things about Dark TJ, and I would have to just come up with stuff on the fly. And we started developing this narrative of what his goal was on the island. Yeah. And I would leave little messages on the bulletin board for that Dark TJ would leave. Stuff like, "Mwahahaha, now that I'm here, I'm going to take over this entire island."
Hang on, one sec. It's happening again.
It's Dark TJ. Oh, man. Ninjas are outside jumping on Amiibo Jason's car repeatedly throughout the course of this podcast. Either that or a costumed entertainer is trying to, you know, blow their clown horn to gather a crowd, which would not be a good idea because we are trying to encourage social distancing at this time. So, you know, there's that. We didn't timestamp this, so who knows how much of this is actually going to make it into the final episode. It's a possibility. So if you are suffering through this gap in hard-hitting, cutting-edge content, and you're just listening to me vamp to fill in the time between when Amiibo Jason gets back and we have something substantive to discuss, then my apologies and my appreciation. My appreciation that you value listening to this show enough that you'd put up with this kind of meaningless drivel, to put it kindly. Or maybe, as often happens to me, you're listening to this on a hands-free device and you can't actually access the device that you are listening to it on to change it. That happens to me a lot, where I'll be listening to a podcast I really like, or I'll be watching a YouTube video or something, and the device is out of reach, and like a 7 or 8 minute or 15 minute commercial will come on, and I will just have to sit there until such time as it ends, or I can get over to it to modify the length of time by skipping ahead or something. Hey, maybe you do want to skip ahead a little bit right now, but, you know, do that with your own caution. Do that at your own risk, because you don't know when Jason's going to get back. And as soon as he does, we're going to start delivering that gold again. Just pure gold bombs are going to be dropping, because we got some Animal Crossing to discuss. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, it's riveting. It is downright riveting. It's like unbelievable, the stuff that's happening, the epic story arc that's unfolding in Animal Crossing right now. I mean, I would tell you a little bit about it, but then I'd have to repeat it when Jason comes. And I think he's making macaroni and cheese now. Like, I hear him over there messing around with pots and pans and pouring noodles. Maybe he actually forgot about the show. He wouldn't do that to us. Would he? Well, at least not on purpose, but maybe he got distracted. Maybe Happily Candied is having him do some chores now. Which is basically, if you think about it, what Animal Crossing is at its core anyway. It's a series of chores that we willingly perform. I've always been curious about that. Why are chores so fun and so exciting and engaging when they're gamified like Animal Crossing versus real life? I find it so satisfying to perform yard work in Animal Crossing. And I love cleaning my room in Animal Crossing. In real life, I do those things because I'm an adult and they need to get done. I do the dishes every day. Did you sort it out? What happened?
My keys were in my coat pocket and my coat was in the washing machine.
Oh my gosh, that is hilarious.
My neighbors must hate us. Open Kia key. So I got to figure out how to open up this key real quick because I think it's malfunctioning.
That's priceless, Jason.
All right, hang on. I need a little baby screwdriver.
You probably have those from your modding collection, right?
I do. Oh, it just pops in. I got this. All right, one sec.
So if you just pull the battery out, is that going to...
Yeah.
Stop the beeping. There you go. You got this.
All right. Battery's out. It sucks.
Mischief's managed.
I think this key is shot now, though.
And those things are not cheap.
No, they are not.
I was going to get my keys replaced one time, and they were like, that'll be $50. I was like, no thanks, just disable the alarm.
Ugh. I think my Nissan key is fine. All right. At least we knew what it was.
Yes.
So, all right, Mr. TJ, let's just start over with the Amiibo subject entirely.
The Amiibo subject?
All right, where were we?
We're talking, I was illuminating you on the developing Animal Crossing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Saga right, Mouse. We kind of wrapped up Amiibo.
Let's see. 102.36.
Oh, this episode's going to be regrettably more work for you than some others.
It's only two little clips. I'll get out of it. All right.
All right.
So, Dark TJ Mountain.
Yes. So there has been an evolving Dark TJ saga on my island, which began with him just planting the tent. And then he starts leaving notes. And then he starts sending messages. And then he starts stealing yard furniture. And so my kids were like, well, how can we stop him? Like, and I'm thinking, I need to somehow unlock terraforming.
Yeah.
And based on your advice from last week, I just needed to plant flowers. So I'm like, oh, well, Dark TJ hates anything nice. He hates flowers. So if you want to keep him off your property, just plant flowers. Plant them everywhere. Plant those flowers anywhere you don't want him to be. And my son took it so seriously, and he planted flowers all over the place.
Yeah.
Sure enough, like a day or two later, terraforming was unlocked. And so he's like, what's next with Dark TJ? I'm like, well, he keeps hiding all these wasp's nests in the trees, and he's training them to attack us.
Yeah.
And so I finally had to, I shouldn't say had to, I finally chose to invoke the power of time travel because I couldn't keep pace with the evolving narrative.
Yeah.
Because I needed Dark TJ's place to grow and develop faster than the game was allowing me to do. And it was really, really fun. And so every day now, when I put my kid to sleep, he's like, what are we going to do tomorrow to stop Dark TJ? And I just love that the game that has no bad guys, no enemies, no villains, that we've put one in here and that the story is kind of developing on its own.
Yeah.
So it's been a ton of fun. Aside from the fun that we create for ourselves, the game did have a few events that happened, at least they were the first time for me. Everyone experienced Bunny Day.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I'm kind of glad it's over.
Yeah, I think Bunny, that's the general consensus.
I didn't really love it. At first I did, and I started to be a little concerned that I wasn't gonna be able to get enough of the ground eggs or the stone eggs to be able to do the thing. Yeah, those fears were assuaged rather quickly when about day five I was running out of room in my storage. So I'm glad that's done. I hope that, and Nintendo even had to update it to create fewer fishing eggs. Yeah. That was really obnoxious. Like, if you were trying to catch a certain fish, good luck.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that's done. But on the topic of fishing, CJ appeared in my town, and we had this fishing tournament that we could do. But it was only for a really short span of time.
Yeah.
And that kind of bugged me. So I did have the chance to do it with my kids and my wife for the first time, where we all played at the same time. And the awesome thing about it when you're doing it multiplayer is you can all do it cooperatively.
Oh,
so
nice.
If you catch fish, it all contributes towards the same end goal. So like he'll say, hey, can you catch three fish at least in 3 minutes? And anyone in your whole town can catch them. And they'll all go into the bin, and it all counts towards that same thing. So that's pretty awesome. I just wish that it was longer.
Yeah.
But then he did appear in my town randomly a few days later and started giving us some fishing challenges that didn't have the same time limiting factors on it. And that was pretty cool, too, where he's like, go catch three small fish.
Yeah.
You can't mess up in the middle, or you're done, son. So, like, that's pretty awesome. And then I got to give a quick shout out to our friend Nintendo Guru.
Yeah.
Who he posted a video about how to terraform your own bridges. But in the video, I saw that he had this DIY recipe for gold armor.
Sure.
And I just messaged him like, what is that? How do you get that? He's like, oh, it's 8 pieces of gold. You can bring it to my town and I'll do it. And
nice.
So I happen to have had exactly 8 and I went
Very
there.
Nice.
So now Hero TJ's sporting some sweet gold armor.
It's like Minecraft.
Now, you were crafting a little bit earlier than me.
Yeah.
And I had a plan to make my terraforming perfect, because my town is just a mess, you can imagine. I've got 3 kids in there, my wife who doesn't really play, villagers just put wherever I could put them, because in the early game, most of the map was locked off, so you have to put them where you can put them. Plus, I was also managing it with 5 human players. So we were really strapped for real estate. So now I'm trying to like move stuff where I want it to be. And while I like terraforming, I love that I can do it, I'm really disappointed at how limiting it is. I hate that I still have to go to Tom Nook every time I want to move a building.
Yeah.
And that I have to wait a day. Because the game does not offer the degree of specificity to put the house where you want it to be relative to the grid that you can't see. So for example, I laid in Dark TJ's house and I wanted to be able to have a path that went right towards the door. And I wanted to have an incline to get up to his mountain.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make sure that the incline was laid exactly precisely right. So I built fences. I'm like, hey, I'll game you, game. You're not giving me the grid. I'll build my own grid. So I built the fences from the door, only to discover that the only options for that incline are going to be offset by 1 in either direction.
Oh,
and now,
man.
I could move Dark TJ's house.
Yeah.
To the tune of what? Another
1 square.
Yeah, but then I also have to pay an exorbitant amount of money, which I'm super strapped for cash in this game.
Yeah. And now that our primary source of income has been
patched now that out. My only source of income, magic swish, switch magic. Yeah, that's gone. So I'm like, I'm just going to have to settle for this imperfection, which I know for a lot of people, they want things to line up perfectly.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people, and maybe if I was playing solo and I didn't have the very real possibility that my kids are going to undo everything that I do anyway, because as I discovered, me unlocking terraforming means that they unlock terraforming, so they can go around and put mountains wherever they want.
You know, I'm actually thinking of buying a physical copy of the game, disconnecting the internet on one of my Switches so it can't update, and using that Switch primarily just to make money. But I guess how could I transfer the money then? I'd have to it'd be a complicated process.
Well, you could just make so much. Yeah, because
I can only really do
internet.
It once before that I could actually share that money with anybody else.
Yeah. You'd have to do it a ton.
Yeah. Man.
I wish that I would have done it a little more. I knew they were going to patch it out, but I didn't. What I underestimated was
how
money
quick.
I was going to need. I figured once I can get to the point where I can do terraforming, I won't have to pay Tom Nook to do all this stuff. I could just do it on my own. Nope, you still have to pay for every incline. You still have to pay for every bridge.
You can't terraform the ramp, which sucks.
Yeah, I can't believe that. That makes me crazy.
I thought for sure you could. For some reason, I thought I saw them do it in the video, in one of the directs.
Maybe we're just not far enough into the game. I suppose it's possible that could happen. I can't make waterfalls, can you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you do that?
You need to buy the waterfall terraforming permit.
Okay. See, that hasn't come up for me. So
it's
maybe
in there. You get both at the same time.
It is? It's... Well, I can make rivers. I can make rivers and stuff.
Oh, yeah. So all you do is you take the river tool and you need a cliff and you just hit the river tool into the cliff.
Oh, okay. I guess I just didn't poke around with it enough.
Yeah, yeah, I got waterfalls like shooting. I got like this mountain that I created with waterfalls coming out like on all 4 sides. It's kind of neat.
Oh, that's cool. So if you hit the water on the edge of a cliff, then you get to do it.
Correct.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff.
Do you have any criticisms about the terraforming, or do you feel like it's what you hoped?
It is what it is. I mean, I would prefer to terraform an incline. I'm kind of disappointed you can't do that, but that's really the only criticism I have of the entire thing. I think it's a neat thing to have. I'd like to be able to build mountains a bit taller, but... 3 layers is decent enough.
You know what I love? I love the way that I can arrange my house.
Yeah.
And I want to do that with my whole town. I want to be able to go into that mode in the town move my villagers' houses there, where I can look at the grid, I can put them where I want. I don't want to have to pay Tom Nook $1 million every single time I want to do any little thing, because if I mess up or the game misleads me into thinking that a path will align when it doesn't, that I have to then go through that whole process all over again. That's a big turnoff to me. So while I'll do it and I'll play around with it, I feel like there is definitely some room for improvement with this particular aspect of the game. And I haven't lost hope that maybe these are kinds of things that can evolve. If you consider how late into the life cycle of New Leaf it got, that huge, amazing Welcome Amiibo update.
Yeah.
Not unforeseeable that even 2, 3, 4 years from now, this game might still be receiving new content.
They are 100% going to be adding completely, completely new things to this game, in my opinion. I think that we are going to see your island expanding larger than it is now. I think we're going to see like full-fledged DLC for this thing. I really do. So I have no idea when that's going to happen, but yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of quality of life improvements.
Now, next on my agenda is Pitfall Seeds. I got to get those. There's the great article on NintendoWire.com on how you get them, where either you get that random DIY recipe, or if somebody has it and they bury it and you dig it up, you'll automatically learn it.
Oh,
so
really?
I gotta find somebody who has Pitfall Seeds so that I can automatically learn it. Because
I have
DJ
not seen anybody have
traps.
Them yet, but I will check with the Nintendo Wire team and I'll let you know. If Happily Candy doesn't have them, I'm sure nobody has them on our team yet.
I don't think that I'm allowed in her town.
No? I'm sure you could go.
Okay, that's nice of her. Now, our runtime on this one might be a little bit skewed because we did have the ninja attack on your car incident.
Yeah, very true.
But I do have a challenge question for
you. I am ready for it.
Now, this one might be... I don't know if this is difficult or not. For me, this would be really hard. So... I want to give you a few qualifying rules because I could see how you might get thrown off and I don't want to mislead you. This is about variants. Ooh. Amiibo variants.
Okay.
Now, to be clear, we're talking strictly about figures.
Got it.
So if it's a plush or if it's a card or if it's some other form that is not a figure, you don't need to worry about that. And we're also not talking about... varying sculpts or poses. So this is purely a paint variant.
Got it.
The figure is identical with the exception of the paint.
Okay.
There are, if my calculations are correct, and I hope that it is, let's see, there's 11 color variant amiibo that exist in the world presently. How many of those can you name?
All right, Gold Mario, Silver Mario.
Yep.
Rob.
Yep.
Villager, if you want to count the eyes.
He is the secret 12th one.
Is
I'm
he?
Surprised
is
you
he?
Got that. Yeah, yeah. Secret 12th one.
Modern and retro 8-bit Mario.
Yes, that's one, because one of them is the original.
Hmm. And we're talking figures. And there's more. So I know, obviously, Gold and Silver Mario. Do you also count the standard Mario? Or does that one not count?
He would be the original. So we're just looking at the variant versions.
Got it. Man.
You're doing pretty good.
I'm cheating to a certain extent. Gold Mega Man.
Yep.
And then I don't know if this counts the other Gold Mega Man, but there was only like one of those made.
No, I didn't count anything that would be like a trophy or impossible to buy. These are things that were all commercially available.
Got it. The player twos don't count because I think they're
different.
The player
twos don't count. Correct.
I feel like I'm missing something obvious, but. Oh, you know, well, hang on. I don't even have these up. The Splatoon amiibo in like duplicate. So boy, girl, and the squid all had different color variants.
You're doing great. You're only missing three.
So the other ones, they're not in the Smash series.
One of them, unless I'm mistaken, might be the most recent amiibo that's released. It definitely is the most recent amiibo that's released here in Taiwan.
Oh, Gold Shovel Knight.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
And
then these other two, last two, are probably not along the train of thought you're thinking, because they are hybrid amiibo.
Oh, Hammer Slam Bowser and whatever the Donkey Kong one is called.
Yeah.
The dark versions. Man, that was a good one.
Dude, you nailed it. That's amazing. And you even got the villager variant.
Well, that one I did its own video on back in the day. I was very excited about the updated eye villager.
Yes.
Even though the original one is like super hard to come by now.
Yeah, I customized mine. Yeah. I didn't even care. I filed those eyes right off.
Oh, man. Well, TJ, I'm going to make sure I got an equally good question for you next week. But before we get to next week, where can the good people find you today?
Hey, check me out on YouTube. Once in a while, I'll put a video there on the Nintendo Wire channel. And if you want to keep up with my Animal Crossing or Ring Fit adventures, then you can check me out on Twitter at Custom Conquest.
Awesome. And, of course, you can find me over at NintendoWire.com. I'm also right here on YouTube. I have just put out a new video today, even though I'm sure this podcast is going to go out tomorrow. So I am still doing YouTube videos, not as many as I would like, but I'm trying to get back on a regular schedule. Otherwise, my personal Twitter account is at AmiiboJason. But that's about it. TJ, anything else? Any other words of wisdom about people liking our podcast or sharing?
Yeah, we sure do love glowing praise. So please feed our egos and leave us a 5-star review.
Would be nice. All right, TJ. Until next time, buddy. Stay wired in.
Thanks for playing.